But I have to, we're becoming the old timers. And when I look here on the second row, I have an experience with John. We had a men's conference, and we're all going on motorcycle ride, a big ride. And John led a prayer. And he said, before he prayed, he told all of us men, he said, just remember, God will not change the laws of gravity for your stupidity. 5 minutes later, as I was chasing him, because I wanted to be the head of the pack, about 25 motorcycles, I wanted to be behind the fastest guy. I did not know the road, did not know where the trail took off. And I came to the end of the road, and there was trees, and I needed to make a hard 90-degree left turn. And I tried to lay my motorcycle over and broke my kneecap, and it was a mess. And so that was stupidity. Anyway, I've got dozens of stories like that to tell just through the years, and we are very happy to be here. Glad to have my wife and my best friend, and we've been making this journey for quite some time now. This next year, May 23rd, will be 46 years. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Now let's, that you patty cake there, now give it up, 46 years for her, all right? Yeah, she has patiently endured and persevered. And then, of course, I have my grandsons with me, two of the three, and Nicholas. And half the time, I call him Nathan, and you that know our son, it's easy to mix them up. And I do it all the time. I call his little brother, instead of saying Dominic, I say Brad, which is his uncle. And and part of that's due to my age, I suppose. I tell everybody I don't have a problem with my memory. It's my forgettery. And that is, it's troublesome to me. And so, in fact, I almost did it again this morning. I don't know where Crystal went. Where did she go? Is she still in the house? So I started to go to her again. I was going to say Becky. And I just, it's just, forgive me when I say the wrong names. And I appreciate your patience and your kindness. We do have a meeting, just to, as far as any advertisements. We've got a meeting coming up on March the 19th, 20th, and 21st up in Smelterville. And it's our district impact meeting, and I want to invite everybody there. It's going to be a great time. Dr. Phil Redding is coming back and ministering. He was with us in July this last year at our family camp. And I just believe it's by God's design and plan that we got him coming. We're trying to do some things in our district, and he's assisting us in helping as we get some satellite schools started all over our district with AIM, Accelerated Institute of Ministry. And we're very excited about that. We want to be making disciples. We want to see people falling in love with Jesus. And I remember back in the day, I was a kid that just came to the Lord. I really loved Jesus. And I mean, I was not the teenager that sat on the back row. No offense to you back rowers out there, all right? But I would not sit on the back row. Every service, I am on the front row. I mean, I am clapping, I'm singing, I'm the first in the altar, I'm in love with Jesus. I want more of God, I want the power of God. How many remember the time when you first felt the power of God? And you were just worshiping and praying, and all of a sudden it felt like literally you're holding a live wire. And you've got tingles, and it's like, wow, I'm a 15-year-old kid experiencing that. And it's like, wow, there is something to this. And I had a wonderful transformation in my salvation, but experiencing that. And so I was on the front row. And so I'm wanting to see us just reproducing. And as we fall in love with Jesus, Holy Spirit will call. Now, if you would have called, you never would have chosen me. I got in the class best in 1977 when I graduated from high school. I got the two class bests that every boy didn't want, and I got both of them. I was the shortest and the shyest. I grew 9 inches in 9 months after I graduated from high school. And I was like, really, God? Couldn't this have happened a year ago, you know? But you never would have chosen me for what I do today. But God knows, and he empowers, and he equips, and he places things in our heart. And so we anticipate to do that across our great fellowship, but we're very happy to be here. So I just want to share a couple of things. If I can, is there one of these microphones up here that I can just use real quick? I'm going to do something for about 10 seconds. This may be the best part of the message, so just pay close attention, all right? Are we ready? You're going to tell on yourself now. How many have seen these movies? All right. Now, how many is old enough you went back to the 70s and you saw the real thing? All right. All right. That's it. No, that's not the message, but oh, thank you, Dan. It's so good to meet Dan. I didn't get to meet Joy, but from a distance, God bless you guys. And again, new people, and then all the old timers out there. We love your pastors, Arby and Kathleen. And I have to be honest with you, I had tears in my eyes because I've not seen Arby since his accident. And I can see that, and I'm not trying to be a negative person here right now, but I see a difference in Arby, and so he needs healing. He needs restoration. I could see it in his eyes, and he's a dear friend, and I love him. Love your pastors, and of course, your former pastors. We grew up teenagers together in youth camps, and my son married their daughter, and we share grandbabies, and so with the Limeberries, and so we just love this house, and then I go all the way back, of course, to the Bomleys, and which are so dear and precious to my wife and I. And of course, we know Brother Bomley. How many ever seen Brother Bomley get happy in the Lord? Yeah, well, just picture him in heaven dancing. He always, at any of our district meetings, at least once, Brother Bomley was going to step out of the row and cut loose and cut a rug. And he would do that periodically, love Jesus, and they're precious to us. But we're letting the cat out of the bag a little bit, but at District Impact, we're going to be blessing and honoring Sister Bomley. And, of course, posthumously, we'll be honoring Brother Bomley. But we want to honor them. These are our elders. And, man, they gave their life. They sacrificed. And they impacted my life. I was just a teenager when I first met them, and they made a difference in my life. And so we honor the leaders of this house and, of course, the Life Center we love very much. And we're honored to get to serve in the capacity that my wife and I are serving. And she's going to say, God bless you. Thank you, honey, for not having me speak. That is like her most unfavorite thing. She does not like to get in front of crowds. She doesn't like to give announcements or say anything, but she is an amazing best friend, and she's doing a wonderful job in women's ministry, and it's her heart, and I love her very, very much. Mission Impossible. All right, we're going there this morning. Matthew chapter 19, verse number 26. All you know where I'm going with this already. But Jesus looked at them and said, with people, as far as it depends on them, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. We're going to focus a little bit on the impossibility this morning, but ultimately, our major main focus is, but with God. Don't you love that conjunction in that sentence right there? That little word, but. What a big word. But as far as it is with some people, and you in this room, some of you are facing, now I want you to stay with me on this, because some of you are in impossible situations right now. It seems to be impossible. You've had impossible situations. I'm just going to get a pull the room a little bit here. How many have ever felt and you've been found yourself in an impossible situation? Well, some of you have. Man, the rest of you jump for joy. You've never been there. But I've been there many times, not just once. I've been there many times, and it just seems like an impossible situation, but how it just shifts here where it says, but with God, all things are possible. And then our can-do scripture, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And reading that in the Amplified Version, it says, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. It's the Amplified Version. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So, Father, today, if we don't get anything else, I pray we get this message, this scripture, that there are impossibilities before us, but with you and through you, we can do all things. We pray for your anointing, your presence to be with us, and help us just to convey what you put in my heart for these folks today, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God thrives on the impossible. Look at the scientists today. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. In the beginning, God. People in our world have a problem with that. They can't understand that. How can that be? Because we have a God who thrives on the impossible. It doesn't make sense to the carnal mind. But I've looked at it enough through the years that I think it takes greater faith to believe in evolution than it does to believe in a creating God. I mean, science itself has proven it is impossible for this to have evolved. Our science, I don't know why we're still hung up on it. It is impossible. Anyway, but God thrives on the impossible. Many times we say things like we're looking at a situation in our life and we just simply say, that's impossible. Now, I've said that to my kids before. They want to do some things and I say, that's impossible. Or I will say, how many's ever said this to your child or to someone you know and you've said, you're impossible. You ever had those situations? How many are married here this morning? Okay. You didn't have to raise your hand on that one, but anyway. Or you've looked at different people and in the different settings, and you just simply say, wow, they are impossible. This is an impossible situation. Have you ever been dealt a hand and you've said those three things? This is impossible. I don't like it. I find myself in a situation, and this is impossible. We have to look at, what have you looked at in your life, and you have said, that's impossible. This situation is impossible. You're impossible. What is the impossible situation that you are facing right now? Now, I'm going to probe just a little bit here. I'm not going to stay on this, but I am going to probe. And I'm going to ask, is there anyone in the house? Now, I'm asking this question, and I'm answering my own question. Is there anyone in the house you feel like I am facing an impossible situation? Well, I got one out there, two. I am. I've got a couple of areas in my life that if you look at it in the natural realm. Now, we're afraid to say that this because we're like, oh, no, I'm full of faith. Well, I am too, and I'm attacking this with faith. But I've got some situations that this is intricate. This is not easy. This isn't just one of those simple 1, 2, 3 steps and you're through it. But this thing is like, man, this thing looks impossible. I do not know. Have you ever found yourself in a position you're like, I know I have to get this done, but I have no idea how I'm going to get it done. I am in a place of impossibility. Well, that's kind of where I want to go with this morning. How about some examples of this? Maybe you're trying to disciple someone. You're trying to teach and bring them up in the ways of the Lord. Could it be one of your own children? And they just do the opposite of what you are trying to teach them. Has anyone ever experienced that? I'm telling you, I raised 2 boys. And I'm the pastor, and I love my boys very much, but I was the proverbial pastor that simply said, my sons will never do that. Well, they proved me wrong. I love them, and they're wonderful young men now, but they had their moments, and they would do sometimes just the very opposite of what I was trying to teach them. I've heard some people say, man, I would really love the church if it wasn't for all of those people. They're impossible. They're just impossible. How about if you're a little OCD in your marriage and he still squeezes the toothpaste in the middle? You're just impossible. Can you not squeeze it from the end? Why do you have to squeeze it in the middle? You're impossible. Will you ever change? Will you ever get it right? How about with your children? I've told you 1,000 times that your bedroom floor is not the clothes hamper. You ever heard that one, Nicholas? He kind of heard it this morning. His dirty clothes was on the floor, not in the bag. How many times have we told you that? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? All the information you need to know about our impact meeting is on the website, pnwpcg.com. Do you know how many times I get phone calls and I get text messages where and what and when and how? I got an impossible situation on my hands. Oh, we're just having fun with this, aren't we? Impossible. Are you kidding me? You have another headache tonight? There's a couple of chuckles out there. You wrote another bad check? How many times have I told you to check with me before you write a check? You're impossible. Well, in my life, I've had a few impossibilities. I'll quickly just walk you through a couple of those. In 1986, I had a problem with my shoulder, and I thought that I would go into the doctor and see what was going on. And in this situation, I thought I was going in for a strained muscle. It's been going on for a few years now. And by the time I left there, he said, well, we need to have an x-ray. Got an x-ray. He said, we got to have another. Knew something was up when he said, we have to have a tomogram. We got to have another test. Get that test and got the results. I want you to come in and talk to you about it. So I go in thinking I had to pull muscle. I left that meeting after he informed me that you have a tumor inside your humerus that has grown out of the bone into the shoulder, and we do not know if it's cancer or not. I'm telling you, I was 26 years old, and I was facing an impossible situation. One of my best friends, I was his best man in his wedding. He had already undergone chemotherapy, and he was dying with cancer. One of my best friends up in Oroville, where I'm from, and this is what I was experiencing. Now I'm told that I may have cancer. I immediately jumped to, I've got cancer. I didn't maybe have cancer. I jumped too, because, and then he said, well, to fix that, we're going to go in and extract that tumor. We'll have to do a biopsy. But if it's cancer, then eventually we're probably going to have to take the top of your humerus and put in a substitute. And then if that doesn't work, to save your life, we will have to amputate your arm. That's what he told me in my first visit to the doctor. So for the next 2 hours, I drove around Yakima, where I was living at the time, just stunned. It's like I was dazed, and I just drove for 2 hours. I only lived 15 minutes from the doctor's office, but I drove the streets of Yakima for 2 hours, just driving. And I drove for 2 hours because all I could see is my life is ending, and I'm 26 years old, and I've got all of this before me. I was facing an impossible situation for a 26-year-old. That night, I got home, and I'll never forget this. I got home, and Teresa was waiting for me. She was expecting a pulled muscle also, and I unload this on her. And that night, my wife and I sat on the front porch, 202 North 8th Street, Yakima, Washington. Can't tell you the exact day. I just know it was in 1986. And we sat there together, and she held my hand that evening. We sat there, and we watched the sun come up. Together. We just sat there all night. I'm stunned thinking, I have cancer and I'm going to die. And she held my hand all night long in my impossible situation. I'm telling you, I can do all things through Christ, but I'm telling you, we need each other. We need to stand with her. You have a pastor right now. You got to be interceding and praying over because he needs you. Amen. I know I'm preaching to the choir. You all know that. But it's an impossible situation. I'm sure he has felt at moments, this is impossible. Am I going to be able to recover from this? What is life going to look like? He was in, and he is in that sometimes an apparent impossible situation. Well, good news was it was benign and so on and so forth. Here I am today. All right. But in 1988, I was having a rough time in ministry. Anybody have a rough time in ministry? You can have a rough time in Sunday school class, right? Linda might be having a rough time right now in kids' church. She might be having some impossibility situations back there going on. But I was in one of those. I was being attacked on, it seemed like I was in the district youth ministry, and it seemed like nobody was happy, and I'm getting complaints and all of this stuff. And I remember one night laying on my couch, and I was laying there, and we were not fighting. I was just sleeping on the couch simply because I was in an impossible situation. And I remember that night I was praying, and I was talking to God. Mostly I think I was complaining to God, and I was whining, and I was upset, I was hurt, and I'm talking to God, and I was going to say, with my face against the back of the couch, I was going to say, I give up. I'm done. I am finished. I am resigning. I am quitting. I am done. That's exactly what I was going to say. I give up. And as I was kind of weeping and crying out to God, all I could say was, God, I give, and I was going to say up. And I wanted, everything inside of me wanted to say up, and I couldn't get the word up out. God, I give. I said it like 3 or 4 times. God, I give, and I couldn't. And after about the 3rd or 4th time, it finally dawned on me what I was actually saying, and that was exactly what I needed to do. I needed to give what everything I had about me and give over to him. I need to consecrate it to him. But in that impossible situation, I needed God, and certainly did he ever come through with me for that and on that. I'm just because my second oldest grandson is here with me, Nicholas, today. When my wife and I were ready to have our children, and we wanted children, and miracle was, the doctors had told her earlier that you'll never be able to bear children, but God had another plan, gave us 2 boys of our own, and gave us 2 miracles, and that we were all excited because now we're having a baby, and we're so excited about that. And then we found out that the health insurance we had did not cover anything for the deliverance of this child. And not only did we have the cost of that, but he was an emergency C-section. But here was the good news on that. And that simply was, we're talking about 2 kids that have no money. We have absolutely nothing. And how God came through for us in my impossible situation. So we have Nathan, and we don't even know how we're going to pay for this. $5,000. That's just as much as $5 million for us back in 1987. $5,000. And then, lo and behold, at the bottom of our insurance policy, at the very bottom in fine print, it basically said there's no coverage for any maternity care or anything like that. And at the very bottom it says, unless, or the exception is an emergency C-section. And we ended up with an emergency C-section. And the insurance carried all but 60. Now, this is my impossible situation. I'm trying to give you some examples of how God will be there with you in your impossible situations and how he will come through for us. I don't know how it happened, but he did it. And it was just one miracle after another. Everything was covered but $67. And Yakima Hospital, Memorial Hospital, they hounded us for $67. I'm telling you, when I tell you we were broke, we were broke. I did not have $67. The insurance have already paid out over $5,000, but they want that's the hospital wanted their $67. Anybody ever been there? Again, that's just like $6,000 when you don't have $67. And so I ended up getting in the mail from a former job I'd had 3 years earlier, an insurance premium. It was a rebate. They finally tracked me down, and they got it sent to me. So our home address there in Yakima, and what do you suppose the amount was? $67. I went and I cashed that. I called the hospital, and they says, oh, just mail it in. I said, no, I am bringing it to you cash. I'm putting it in your hand. Here is your $67. And we did it. I'm telling you, that was an impossible situation. Does it seem like sometimes that our God loves the impossible? Sometimes it seems like I'm not complaining God here, but does it not seem like sometimes that it just, he likes to put us in impossible situations? Does anybody ever feel that way sometimes? It just, or maybe you've never had any impossible situations. I've had numerous impossible situations throughout my life. And then God, I love how he is. He shows up and he shows off. I'm telling you, if you've had those impossible situations, if you got one right now, if you're fearful or thinking maybe there's one on the horizon, well, you're in good company. And I'll just quickly say a few of them. I won't elaborate long because the time is short. But you look at the story of Noah. Was Noah put in an impossible situation? God comes to Noah, I'm going to destroy this earth. I want you to build me a boat. Okay, what's a boat? What an impossible situation. But he tells him what and how to build it. And then he says, I want you to get two of all kinds, seven of the clean and two of every kind of animal and bring them into the boat. Let me tell you, has anybody ever tried to herd cats? But God came through for Noah in an impossible situation, and they came to him, and they came into the boat. God closed the doors. And he kept them for like 11 months. Imagine if you were Noah. We look at it and it's easy because we know the story and it's the history. But imagine if you're living that in real time. You get in the boat and God closes the door and you can't open the door. That's like I'm in an impossible situation. And then it starts to rain. And I don't mean just a little. It's a big downpour, 40 days and 40 nights. It's pelting on that thing. And then you feel the waters lifting this thing that you don't think it's ever going to go anywhere. You've been building on it for what? Was it 125 years? It's a long time he was building on this boat, the ark. An impossible situation. And yet God sustained and kept them. Abram and Sarai. An impossible situation. In fact, Sarah laughed. What? He's 100 and I'm 90. And you're telling us we're going to have a kid? That's impossible. Sometimes God puts us in these impossible situations. He says, trust me. In fact, a passage, and I'm going to skip. You could talk about Joseph. You could talk about David and Goliath. Now, maybe you're here and you're new and you don't know these Bible stories, but the old timers that are here, you know Daniel in the lion's den. That was an impossible situation. I'm going to die tonight, but God kept him in that impossible situation. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Jesus in Gethsemane. What an impossible situation. He's about to perish, about to die in Gethsemane. But he's sustained through that because he had a mission to get to the cross to purchase our salvation. Paul and Silas in jail. How about John on the Isle of Patmos? Oh, we look at the story and that's no big deal. Oh, you should have been there. You're abandoned on an isle. But the Bible says that John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He's in an impossible situation, but he's in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And then Jesus says, come on up higher, John. I want to show you a few more things. And so, folks, this is really what is on my heart today for 2026. This is what I want to do. I want to look to Jesus like never before. And I've been doing this for over 50 years now, but I want to look to him like I have never looked to him before. I want to draw closer. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto thee. I want to get closer. How many remember the old song in the PCG was Move Up a Little Closer? Yeah, well, Sister Cockrell used to sing that all the time. Move up a little closer. Well, I moved up on the front row, man. I want to get in there. But I do, I want to draw closer to God. I don't want to get just enough to be miserable. Some people get just enough of God just to be miserable. Cantankerous and grumblers and gripers and complainers. I hope I'm not talking to anybody in the house on that one right there. But you just get just enough. You're unhappy. It's because you look and you see, all I can see is impossibilities. This keeps going wrong in my life. This keeps going. I'm put in another impossible situation. This is a lose-lose situation. And how can I handle that? Well, I want to press in. And how do I handle that? Well, number one is I need Jesus. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. You all know this scripture, many of you anyway. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge God in all of your ways, and He will direct your path. Trust God with all of your heart. How many know my wife? I'm going to use her in a little illustration here. How many know my wife today? Okay, how many even remember her back when she was a teenager? Anybody remember my wife when she was that young? Well, I'm going to tell on her a little bit. So what if you knew my wife, she was a tomboy. 100% tomboy. No boys in high school messed with my wife. We weren't married, but nobody messed with her. You know, it was, she grew up with big brothers. So my wife makes a fist, she knows how to make a fist, and she knows how to hit, right? It sounds like experience, like you're a victim, huh? No, I'm not. I'm not that. But knowing that about my wife, in fact, when we play softball, she played in the outfield. She didn't like to play on any of the bases or anything like that. She played in the outfield. You know why? Because she could throw a softball from way out in outfield all the way to home plate, and that is no joke. That lady has an arm, and she could throw that ball. In fact, the PYPAs, Pentecostal Young People's Association, the youth group, it always had to play the pastors at family camp. Every pastor, and some of those were good softball players, they said, do not run on Teresa. Do not try to run on that girl. She will throw you out, and she could do that. So now you got a little picture of her. So what do you think if I told her, I said, honey, I love you so much. I do. I love you. You're first in my life, and I love you so much. I love you so much that I am going to love you and serve you 6 days, 23 hours, and 45 minutes of every week is 100% yours. But that last 15 minutes is reserved for me. I can do what I want, when I want, where I want, with who I want. What do you think my wife would say to me? Pow, right in the kisser. Why? Because she's expecting 100% all. And this year in my life, I want to press in like I never have before with all that I have. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Stop leaning on your own understanding. Acknowledge God in all of your ways. He will direct your path. Yes, you've got impossibilities right now. You got some on the horizon. Don't fret, don't worry, because if you are trusting, leaning in and onto Him, He will direct your path. He will show you a way where there seems to be no way. What seems to be impossible, He will show you the way. 3 years ago, my children informed me we're moving. I said, fine. Leave the grandkids here. If you want to go to the West Coast, fine. But leave the kids here. Well, that doesn't work, you know. So I found myself in an impossible situation. I did everything in my power to try to reason with them, talk to them. Let's maybe think this through and so on and so forth. And then I had to come to the hard conclusion. And that is, nevertheless, Father, not my will, but your will be done. And we believe God's will was done. What I'm trying to tell you is in that process, in that journey, God was with me. But at the very beginning stages, I remember when my son drove out of our driveway, headed over to the west side. I went down in the little gully below my house, and I just, all by myself, I don't even know if my wife knows this, but I went all by myself, and I just went down there, and I just put my hands up, and I wept, and I sobbed, and I cried, and I said, God, this is so hard. These are my dreams that I had that's being broken and it's changed. This is impossible. And I consecrated and I said, God, your will be done and I trust you. And 3 years later, my grandson's with me. They pushed me over with a feather last July, and they said, we're moving back. Now they live in Post Falls. I got my grandkids close, and they're all grown up practically now, but he was with me. So in this impossible situation that you're in, trust the Lord with all of your heart. He's got this. Do you know he's the one that holds everything together? How many know that? Colossians 1:17. And he himself existed and is before all things. And in him, all things hold together. So whatever your hard spot you're in right now or that is coming, the impossible, he said, I've got this, David. Trust me. I have this. In fact, I'm going to hold it all together. You see, I'm turning 67 this year. I've got some transitions yet in my life. I work in hospice. I'm working with hundreds of people that are dying. And so I know I got some things ahead of me. So in my impossible situations, he said, don't worry, David, I am there. I will never leave you, neither will I forsake you, and I am going to hold you together. How many, I know I'm not the only one in this room, but how many's heard of laminin? Yeah. So Louis Giglio and his message on how great is our God and laminin. That, because if you didn't have it, you would just be a goo on the floor, just a sloppy mess on the floor. And so there is this molecule holds everything together. How many have seen that, the picture of laminin, the scientific picture, and then the actual magnified laminin molecule? Anybody want to just spoiler alert here? Here we go. What is it? It's right here, laminin. Probably, I don't know, hundreds of thousands, millions molecules in your body, little crosses. What does it say? And he himself existed and is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the controlling, cohesive force of the universe. I was going to read to you a little article about heaven, but time does not allow that. But with the Hubble telescope and with all the devices that they have in modern technology, reaching out as far as they can into the universe, you know the image that they found out there? Black hole. You know what's in the middle of the black hole? Blows my mind. As far as you can go, searching and looking, and what you will find, he's giving us a message. He said, I've got this. You think that's impossible? I've got this, David. I have got you. And I will hold you together. Well, I want to conclude with this. I got to be getting close. If I don't, Linda's going to be on my hide, because I told her about 30 minutes. And if I hold her over, and she has those kids back there, I value my life at this moment, all right? We need his grace. What's the brother? Is that Michael? Michael. Did he talk about grace a little bit today in the worship? I need his grace. Colossians 1:2, may God our Father give you grace and peace. The Apostle Paul, in writing his letters, salutations to these churches and these places, these towns. Peace from God our Father, our Lord and our Savior. Grace be unto you, he would say. Grace be unto you. We need his grace. What is grace? Philippians 2:13. Not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire, both the will and to work, for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. I need his grace. Grace is much more than that thing we say over dinner. I need his grace. It is the power of God to do what he's told me to do. See, I had a different path than you all had. You've had a different path than I've had. I've had different places of impossibility. And he said, trust me, I have a grace for that. How many know that we have these manifold tests and trials? How many remember that passage of scripture? We have manifold temptations. Manifold, the word manifold many different colors and shapes and sizes. And so there's these many different tests and trials, these impossibilities. And then he talks about what? The manifold grace of God. There, for every trial, for every impossibility, there is a coincide, there is a grace that is equal to that. And that's what I need. I need God's grace. I need his power to do what he's commissioned to me to do. 2 years ago, they voted me in as bishop. I honestly didn't think I was going to. My wife thought I would serve, but I never thought I would serve in this position. I never sought after it, but God says, David, I have a plan for you, and I need you at the right place at the right time, and now you've got to do one thing. You just have to follow me, hear my voice, and trust me, and if you will do that, I will guide you in the impossible situations. I will help you. I've already had a couple of those as we've been serving, huh, Mark? It's like, wow, this is impossible. But he says, David, don't worry. I have a grace that is for that if you will just trust me, and I will show you the way. So he gives me the power to do what I'm supposed to do. Now, I know that, right? I can do all things through Christ, which many of us have that memorized. I can do that. I can do it through Christ. He's going to strengthen me. I know what the passage in the Word of God says. I've even seen it experienced in my own life. But there are times, and I'm just being honest with you, there are times I know what I ought to do. I know he has the power for me to do it. I simply don't want to do it. Am I talking to anybody today? I know what I ought to do. I know what he wants me to do, but sometimes I just don't want to do it. So what do I need? More grace. Because it is the grace of God that enables me to do and even gives me the will and the desire to do it. But God, I don't want to go back in that bedroom. You see, my teenage son's got clothes this tall. I don't want to go back in that smelly rat hole, right? I mean, he's been there. It's like, this is raunchy. I don't want to go there. No, that's your son. You got to go clean up. Go inspire him to do better, right? Love you, Nicholas. I still go in your bedroom, buddy. I'll be there next week. I need more grace. James chapter 4. He opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. 1 Peter 1 and 2, more and more grace. Jeremiah 29:11, he's got good plans for me, not for disaster, but to give me a future and a hope. See, I don't want to focus on, oh, I got a bunch more impossibilities. No, I have a future and a hope. And I have a grace that is going to go with me. And what maybe appears to be impossible, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. With man, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So that's where, if I get voted back in March, I will serve. But if I don't, I got other things in life I'm doing and serving. I'm just going to be just as happy as I was before I came into this office. And I don't worry about, well, what am I going to do about this? Because I've got some things that I have some impossible situations. Now, I'm not saying that Brother Limeberry, Pastor Limeberry, straddled me with this, because he was doing everything he could do with some of these thoughts in his mind as well. But here I am in the position that he was in, and now I have, these are some of my impossibilities, I have aging pastors with nobody to replace them with. I have pastors right now that are 85 years old, and they would like to resign, but there's no one to take their church. I'm looking at that and like, this is impossible. But Mark, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, and he is moving, and he says, David, I've got this. I am that cohesive molecule. I will hold this together. I've got you, right? And so these are some of the things that I have, some of my impossibilities. I have a constituency that I get to oversee now, and here's my heart of hearts right here. I want to see all of our churches. I want to see everyone that is here today. I want us to engage in the harvest. How many know it is a good harvest out there? It is a great harvest. We're not talking a measly little harvest out there. The harvest is great. If you don't get out of your house, you won't see the harvest. But if you will go out, if you'll just go out in Kuski and Kamiah and the surrounding area, what is this, Idaho County? If you will go, there's a lot of people out there. The harvest is good. All we have to do is just go. He said, go. And if I will just hear his word and follow and do what he tells me to do, then he will put me at the right place at the right time. How many of you ever had that happen? Where God orchestrated and put you at the right place at the right time. And he did the miraculous. And that seemed to be impossible. Everybody said, oh yeah, that is a lost cause there. Nothing's going to happen there. And yet God will bring you to that person. I could tell you many stories that I have been brought to the bedside of someone that was dying, and they were somebody else's impossible situation. And yet God put me in their path, and I presented them the gospel to them, and I loved their heart, and I led them to Jesus, and they were transformed. Even got to baptize some. That's awesome. Impossible situations. But I've got that. I want to see our churches. I want to see, my dream is that everyone in this house here gets involved and engaged in the harvest. And I'll tell you what, there's nothing like it when you get to lead someone to Jesus. I lay in my bed year after year after year at 697 West Dakota, Hayden, and I lay staring at the ceiling night after night, travailing because I had not led someone to Jesus in years. And it bothered me. And I pleaded with God, and God opened a door. And this next week, I'm going to lead someone to Jesus. This happens a continual basis with me now. I'm leading someone to Jesus. Not only that, I get to disciple them. And I'm telling you, your world will change. You will come alive when you get to bring someone to Jesus and lead them to the Lord and disciple them. So I want to see us engage, and then we want to just simply make disciples that make disciples. This is not rocket science. We just want to bring people to Jesus and then teach. What I realize, and I say this with, and I'm not saying this in false humility. I'm not saying this down on myself. I realize I am not the sharpest tool in the shed. I understand that. But I tell you what, God has gifted me with some things. He's deposited some things inside of me. And if I will just simply go, Holy Spirit will position me in the right place. And he, because I put some stuff in my heart, David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee, O God. I've been hiding the word in my heart for a long time. How many likes to read and study and memorize the word of God? I love that. How many like listening to good preaching? You're not getting any this morning, but how many like that? You've sat through hours and hours and hundreds of sermons. How many's done that? You've had hundreds of sermons. Guess what? It's in there. It's in there. We've got this conscious mind and this subconscious mind. Did you know your subconscious mind can take in over 1 million bits of information? And then the Holy Spirit says, right on, I know it's in you. Now I'm going to draw it out, and then all you got to do is present it. How many's ever had that happen? You will say something, you're like, where did that come from? Well, you hid it in your heart. Holy Spirit draws it out. That's why this life of ours now becomes so incredibly exciting. I get to go to work tomorrow. I don't have to go to work. I get to go to work tomorrow. Up in Hayden, I'm going to be over in the Silver Valley. I am going to be going and just waiting for the Holy Spirit to pull something out and deliver to somebody. Amen. And then, this is another impossibility. I want to plant churches. You're like, oh, you got a crazy dream, don't you? You can't even get pastors and you want to plant churches? Yeah, it's an impossibility to me, but that's the way man sees it, but with God, all things are possible. So we have this culture, embracing the harvest, discipling. Holy Spirit will call and commission and send out. Amen? And then there's going to be people that's going to go, no, I'll go. Here am I, God, send me. You never would have chosen me, but because I was a little boy that really fell in love with God, had an amazing salvation. And then he, one night, our general PYPA, old Gary Johnson, preached a message. I still remember the message. Don't let the bitter north wind blow until you heed the call of God or heed the command of God in your life. And that night, God, I was the first one in the altar praying, God, here I am, I'm yours. And God spoke to me and says, David, I want you to preach my word. He gave a distinct calling, and I knew it was with pastoral ministry as well. He said, that's what I want you to do. You never would have chose me, but God chose me. And so I began to hide all these things in my heart, and then you just simply go. He said, I will go with you. He said, I will never leave you. Neither will I forsake thee. I will go with you. This impossible now becomes possible. And that's what I live on. I really believe we're going to plant churches in the Pacific Northwest. I was telling Dan about it a little bit before church. Oh, I realize there's some that will grow into something like this. I celebrate the Life Center, but I know others are going to do it different. And the whole goal is we're going to make disciples that make disciples. Amen. Praise God. Father, I thank you. I thank you for who you are. We give thanks in all things and what you have done for us. I've had so many impossible situations, and you have proven yourself over and over and over again that it is possible. There is light at the end of a tunnel, and it's not a train. Thank you, Father. I just pray that you will, I pray this message has just really been heard, and it gets planted deep in the heart of every soul here today, that we can look up, literally look up. We'll draw nigh and close to you, and you will show us the way, and we can live by faith in that realm of possibility. It's no longer mission impossible, but it is mission possible. Thank you, Father. Bless my friends here today, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. I want you to know, and there may be some here today, I know there's prayer warriors that are here today. They will pray with you, because sometimes when you are in an impossible situation, you can feel very lonely and you can be very scared. A year ago when I hurt my back, it was July the 11th, that was my bad day. I was in the ER all day long, incurring a $33,000 debt that I did not have, and I was scared. I was experiencing all types of spiritual warfare. I had the worst pain I've ever had in my life that was not going away. My wife made one phone call to a dear friend of ours. She's our my general manager of the hospice that I work for now. She was an RN then, and she called Heidi, and Heidi came, and she was there, and she advocated with me, for me, with the doctors and the nurses at KMC there in Coeur d'Alene. And I'm telling you, I needed someone that day, and she was there. I want you to know, if you're in an impossible situation, you may say, well, Pastor Dave, you have no clue what I'm going through. You don't know the hellish situation that I am in. I may not know, and I may not have been in your impossible situation, but I know a God who does know, and he has the solution, he has the answer. And you got folks in this church that have been there, done that also, and they are standing with you, and you're not alone. It meant the world to me. I had people like Mark, Pastor Mark, that stood, and I didn't mention you earlier. He's the interim pastor here, and but no, but you know, it's people that walk with you and will make the journey with you, and we've made this journey together. And oh, I know we don't go on vacations together and so forth, but I suspect in my time and my pain and suffering, I know the need was brought to this church, you probably prayed a prayer for me at least once, but you were there. And so you stand in the gap and you hold each other up and you help each other. We want you to know you can come, that people will pray with you and help you in your impossible situation. God bless you. I'll turn this back to Pastor Mark. Thank you. Oh, let me grab my, sorry.
Praise the Lord.